what's up, everyone? Welcome to episode 12 of Zipline, the official Zipper Interactive podcast. I say the exact same thing every single show, but my name is Chris Roper.
I am Jeremy Dunham, and today we are joined by SOCOM 4 producer Tom Regas. Hi, Tom.
Hi, guys.
How's it going?
Pretty good. How about you?
I'm great. Thanks for coming on the show. Actually, been wanting you to get on the show for quite some time.
I'm very elusive.
You are. But you're only like, what, 6'10"? No, how tall are you? You're big. You're like 6'5 or something.
6'3".
6'3". Well, you're taller than me, so I remember you.
Speaking of tallness, it's time for the Z-Cap. The most inappropriate segue ever, but whatever. I'll take this first one. It's a reminder that it's a play Interdiction with Zipper today from 2 to 4 p.m. Pacific time.
That's 5 to 7 Eastern, Chris.
Yeah. So if you're hearing this early, depending on what time we get it posted, then please come on and join. If it's going on, you know, hopefully you came on and played us.
Chances are it's happening right now when they're listening.
Exactly. You remember about 2 months ago, I guess, we had the play Mag with Zipper. We played all kinds of different modes. Today we're playing Interdiction only, so anybody that has the DLC can get on there. We had last time, I don't know what the count's going to be now because we're recording this before we're playing, but last time it was, what, 20 some odd, 30 people? So we have a pretty good turnout. So
yes, and we're referring to Zipper employees, not people playing the game.
No. Yeah, there's a lot more than that. Zipper employees playing. But obviously this is going to be an ongoing thing. We'll do again in the future. And when SOCOM's out, we can start doing it that way also. I'm quite sure many people will be interested in doing that.
Yeah, maybe
but,
so.
Yeah, anyway, play with Zipper.
Also, Eagle-Eyed folks who were playing late last night, early this morning. When they were playing, they might have noticed when they were playing Sabotage, it was a little bit different than normal. And by different, we mean that you might have noticed that you were playing on a map that might not necessarily correspond to the two PMCs that were on it. And the reason that was is because we were actually doing a secretive test run on our upcoming faction-neutral Sabotage mode.
So you might be on Sever playing against Valor, but you might have been on Raven's map.
Exactly.
Right.
And in fact, those scenarios happened. And the thing to keep in mind about that is that the test worked. There wasn't any major problem. And so that's a plus. And number two is that also means that that means we're approaching very quickly the point where we can release a more feature-complete version of that. So we don't have a specific date for you yet when you can expect it, but the test was successful, and expect to see faction-neutral Sabotage in the near future.
Yep. Now, Tom, let's get into the discussion Q&A part of the show. The first question, I guess, let's get to you first. Your title's producer here at Zipper. What is your day-to-day like at the show here, or at the studio
at
here?
The show.
At the show.
Day-to-day for me is typically a lot of meetings. Sit in, listen to a lot of different things from a lot of different parts of the team. Try to make sure things stay focused, try to make sure people stay communicating with each other. It's a big team. Sometimes everybody has a different idea of what they're working on in the game, and I need to make sure that everybody's working on the right things in the game. So that's kind of my number one make sure happens today type of thing.
Tom also has the distinction of working on one of the weirdest games I ever played, Alter Echo.
I did, actually.
What did you do on that game specifically?
I was the producer who actually started working on the project and did a lot of the focus on what the design would be early on in the early stages. I didn't actually finish it. I had left Outrage by that time.
And then you moved on to what? What did you do after that?
I went out to Microsoft, actually, and worked on some sports titles for them.
Sweet.
Getting into the listener questions, a lot
already.
Of,
you don't want to ask more about Tom's background?
We can come back to that as we go through this thing if you want. Or do you have anything
else
you
want
to throw in there? Tom, you have anything else you want to... Random facts about yourself?
Not really, to be honest with you.
Tom, well, I have one. I want to know, what is your favorite SOCOM prior to SOCOM 4? A lot of people always ask, a lot of the SOCOM people, which game is your favorite, which game is yours?
So it's always a tough question. SOCOM 1 has a close place for me in my heart because it was one of the first PlayStation 2 games that I really, really thought, I love this thing. SOCOM 2 is a great extension. I think if you look back, it's definitely a fan's favorite, and I understand why that is, but I always tend to gravitate back towards SOCOM 1 just for that experience that it gave me for the first time.
Now, speaking back to some of the older titles, because there are some things that that maybe older titles did that people want to know if SOCOM 4 is going to be doing.
Are not ready.
Yeah, a lot of SOCOM 4 fans want to know. They're saying that they've seen that at E3 there was a first-person view looking down the EOTech site. I guess that's how you say it. However, they want to know that if you don't attach a site to your weapon, when you zoom in, are you able to aim down the iron sights as opposed to just kind of zoom in the camera a little bit?
It's a great question. We don't, the short answer is we don't actually have that straight iron sights view. Anytime you don't have a scope attached to your weapon, it will be an over-the-shoulder camera that gives you a sort of iron sights view, but we don't have sighting down the weapon. There's some technical reasons for that. The majority of the players will have, at a minimum, a red dot sight.
And I think there should also be a distinction so people understand there's actually two forms of aiming. You have the standard aim, which is handled by L1, and then you zoom in on one of the things that have your scopes with, what is it, R3, I think, currently is what we have.
Yeah,
so there's actually two different levels there of aiming accuracy. Speaking of, actually, there's no segue. I'm just going to ask this. Any ETA on when we can expect to see Clan Wars and Mag from Bones 1008? Tom, you don't work on that game. So, Chris, what's the answer?
The current answer is before the end of summer. So if you want to look on your calendar and figure out where summer ends, before that happens, you're the master of when seasons change.
Yes, that's true. Officially, summer ends this year on September 23rd.
So there you go. So sometime before then is...
Technically, it's the 21st. Whatever.
Sure.
23rd, 21st.
Sometime before the 20th of September.
Before the end of September. How's that?
Right. There you
go. That's close. That's good enough.
That is the current plan.
Also, what makes me the master of knowing when seasons end? When did this
I don't know. You've just always known when, you know, April 17th is the start. I don't know.
Just good winter solstice. Good with dates is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, I appreciate that.
Here you go.
Ask a question.
Dr. McNoob wants to know, when can we expect to see SOCOM 4 showing off next?
Ooh. Good question. Our next showing will be at Comic-Con, which is next week. We'll have more details on that followed later next week.
And it opens, I think, to the public on Thursday.
The 22nd, I believe.
Yeah, that's like an MVP or preview night or something the night before, but then it opens up for reals on Thursday through Sunday, I guess.
Yeah, and this will be important because that'll be the first time anybody sees it when it's not at a exclusive trade show.
Right. If you're in the area, you can go in and see it.
Yeah. Or if you've paid your tickets. If you haven't gone to Comic-Con or if you haven't already gotten your tickets yet, you're pretty much no chance of going because they're sold out.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're already planning on going or you know someone who might be able to get you in there, you get those connections, I think you got a good shot of playing the game. And it's fun. And you can tell us how much you love it. Red Violence wants to know, if a team member dies during SOCOM 4's campaign mode, does this affect the outcome of the mission? And for example, would the dead ally magically return to life for the next mission? Or will the game automatically fail you if your teammate dies?
So the best answer for that is we have to go back to the SEALs credo. We don't leave any man behind. If your teammate dies, you have to go get him and revive him. If he dies, then you'll go back to the last check.
And so that's a distinction I think that needs to be made is that There's a small amount of time where you can revive someone, but eventually they'll bleed out.
Yeah, he'll be wounded, and he'll have a health value that will slowly draw down.
Is the amount of time that someone is bleeding out, is that based on the injury type, or is it universal when they're down, or even is it character specific?
It's more of a universal value. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that players get a sense of how long they have to make sure that they can go over and revive their teammate.
Mm-hmm. ADR143 wants to know when the next mag patch is due.
Aha. Well, the answer to this question, Tom, you don't work on that game.
No, I don't. I love mag.
I know. It's true. You do.
I do. Very much so.
That's a fun game. The answer to that question is it'll be sometime within the next month or so. We're going to have specific details on the exact date. In the next, I don't know, week or two.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'd say before September, you can expect to see it. SOCOMical, which I think is a great name, wants to know how Zipper managed to keep SOCOM 4 a secret for so long, Tom.
Did we keep it a secret? that's a good question. The reality is, SOCOM's always been very close to the Zipper family, and we kept it internal for so long because we really wanted to make sure that we understood where the value of the SOCOM franchise is and what we wanted to do with it as we move forward. It wasn't as secret, I think, as everybody thinks it was. There was a lot of clues out there that people did happen to find here and there that said that SOCOM was in the works.
That's kind of what it's a weird thing of the industry as a whole, where any successful game is almost guaranteed a sequel, and yet it's always this, it's a surprise, we're making the 17th, you know, and it happens all the time. But I think it was inevitable that 4 was going to come, but I think that the surprise was that it came so close, or that the announcement came and it was already in production when Mag was released.
Yeah.
I think that was the surprise part.
And how long had we been, so people out there are clear, how long had we been working on SOCOM 4 before we announced it?
About 3 years.
So So quite a long time.
It was a smaller team. It was largely doing a lot of prototyping work and design work from the early stages. We did have a lot of stuff up and running fairly early, but we wanted to make sure that we had the gameplay solidified before we started putting the full team that we have now on the project.
Yeah, I think one thing that the general gamer out there doesn't necessarily know right off the bat is that a lot of games are actually in pre-production for a long time. The idea floats around and they're fleshed out before they're finally, you know, really fleshed out with the team, and then the actual production work starts. So a lot of games that you see that might have technically only been worked on for, you know, a year and a half, 2 years, have actually been floating around the studio in some form or other for years before that.
That's true.
I think that sort of process was made, not in the games field, but a little more famously recently with Avatar, because people were seeing the Cameron was mm-hmm. working on that movie for 10 years. And obviously all that was like fleshing out the story and coming up and waiting for technology to be right. And I think all of those things are in at least in some part true for how SOCOM 4 came out.
Blue aliens in SOCOM 4?
10 feet tall.
No, not yet.
You know, Chris and I were actually talking about this the other day when we were going to lunch. We thought it would be maybe a cool twist that at the end of SOCOM 4, we just have a big monster. What do you think?
Did you hear about that?
Partner,
is that a no? Is that not going to happen?
Partner writes in, wants to know what suggestions E3 attendees made about SOCOM 4 that we plan on implementing or improving upon.
Suggestions. We heard a lot. At E3, I think the number one thing that people really wanted to know is more information about MP, which we had to say we weren't talking about. Mm-hmm. In terms of suggestions, I think the thing that came out the most was people really did not like the way the jump works in the game. So we're looking at how we change that. There's a big contention over whether we have jump at all. It's pretty important to the SOCOM 4 experience, so we will have jump. We just need to rework heights and distances and the animations for it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing I think that we mentioned before was cover, was people, you know, coming into the show, a lot of people with SOCOM 4 have said, I don't know about cover and all these things. But people that tried it out said, hey, this actually works out quite well and, you know, it's smooth and you can not use it if you want to, like we discussed before. And I think another thing that we've has already been working on since the show was the amount of magnetism, I guess you would say, towards an object. And to be clear, I talked about this on the forums as people were asking about you know, some games will use an automatic cover system where if you walk up to a wall, you'll automatically go into cover. And that's not
as snap to cover.
Right. And that's not the case in SOCOM 4. You have to actually press a button to go into cover. And what we're referring to when we talk about that sort of thing is when you press the button, how close to the wall do you have to be to detect to turn it on? You know, do you have to be a foot? You have to be 3 feet, 10, whatever it is. But it always requires a button press.
It does always require a button press. As for the magnetic distance between the player and cover, it's something that we're still working on tuning. I think the best answer to that is whatever feels comfortable for the most people. Mm-hmm. It certainly isn't something that we want to be able to pull you into cover from many feet away. If I had to come up with a number, it's probably 2 feet.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that area where you feel like you're next to cover anyway, like in a natural way. If you were going to take cover behind an object in this room, you would get about 2 feet away and then kind of lean into it. That's what we're shooting for in the game.
I would also hide behind Chris so that he was shot first.
And here's another little tiny tidbit of information that we got a question about on the boards the other day is they want to know if you can just walk away from cover.
Yes.
And yes,
you don't have to actually disengage from cover. You can just pull back on the stick or away from the cover on the stick and you'll come back into normal mode.
The poet Razel, or is that Razel?
Razel, let's go with Razel.
Sure. TPR wants to know in mag when... Okay, before I ask this question... This question is one of the most asked questions we get all the time on the forums. We haven't asked it on the podcast yet. As far as I remember, we might have back in the beginning, but I think it's time for an update, which is why it's in here. So anyway, in mag, when will Valor's F-Pump Ninja Door, and it's called a Ninja Door because you can slip through undetected, be fixed? Rope?
The answer is soon, very soon. It's, I guess, pending inclusion on the next patch or the one after that.
Yeah, well, it'll definitely be in either the next patch or slightly after.
Right.
The key to this that particular bug, and for those of you that don't know what it is, it's a section of the F objective pump on Valor's domination map where there's an area that people can get through without having to worry about the door. So they can literally walk through the wall. And it's definitely not a fun bug, especially if you're on Valor. But the problem with fixing it initially is that it's actually part of the map. It's a physical piece of the map, and it's nothing that we can fix with just some kind of DLS sort of update. We actually have to physically change. So that's what we've been waiting for, is fixing the map. And while we're at it, since the maps are so large, we need to be able to find a good way to deliver them to you in a small and quick manner. And also, since we're in the midst of it, we might as well do some tuning here and there on the map while we're at it. Make sure that we're giving you a map that's not only fixed in that area, but also might have a few touch-ups in others as well. So that's the long answer to the short answer I already gave you.
So basically what you just said was, when that fix comes, there's also other stuff that comes with it.
Yeah, the whole point of the 106 patch and the 107 patch, which is our next one, is to prep the game to be able to accept downloads of large sizes, things like maps, add-ons, other things that we have in the works. In a smaller package and in a much quicker way. So we've got the first part done in 106. 107, we'll finish it up, and then we can start delivering these things.
Jellyboy123 wants to know if Zipper would ever consider adding an option for classic SOCOM crosshairs as an alternative to the crosshairs we saw in the E3 demo.
Yeah. Just for you guys, we'll do it.
There you go.
Easily done.
All you have to do is ask. Well, that's not true. Right.
Now, not
can
quite.
I have $1 billion, please?
That one's a fairly easy one. It's something that we've talked about anyway, giving options for crosshairs. So,
So does that mean that we're absolutely considering it, or we're just going to do it now?
We're absolutely considering it, very close to leaning to just doing it.
Sweet. The Nike approach. HSK is in a wheelchair and is unable to walk or stand up, but he loves how we've implemented the PlayStation Move support into SOCOM 4. And wants to know if he'll be able to use the Move while sitting down in his wheelchair.
Absolutely. We play sitting down all the time here. The biggest movements that you actually have to make are just arm movements. And to be honest, the largest movements that you actually make are when you calibrate the controller. Gameplay doesn't require big waving hand movements at all. We actually sit with our wrist on our knee and actually just move the controller in small arcs and have all the precision we need.
Yeah, the way the calibration works is it's positional. So when you're calibrating the control initially, it looks to see where you are. It doesn't have some predisposed spot that you're supposed to be.
Right. So the Move will work when you're sitting down.
Absolutely.
Evil Wired says, last week we mentioned that gameplay speed would be increased a little bit in SOCOM 4. How would you say the speed compares to past SOCOM games?
It's a difficult question to answer. There's a lot of other factors that go into actual speed. Everybody thinks of speed, like how fast I'm running across the map, but it's more of a perception thing. I think in terms of perception, we may just be a little slower than what some of the classic games were, but the speed is actually about the same moving across the map.
So what is it that creates the discrepancy in actual speed versus the perception of slower speed?
It has a lot to do with camera angles. If you look at something with a very narrow camera angle.
So widescreen versus standard.
Exactly. Yeah. And it really can change. I mean, we've actually tested just by changing the camera angle, the game seems faster or slower, and we didn't change movement speed at all.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you talking about idle speeds, or are you also referring to when you're in sprint mode?
We're talking about every speed, from just crawling, walking, to absolute all-out sprint.
IHOF12 wants to know when Mag's Clan Wars come out, if there's any possibility of making the groups larger. Chris, we were talking about this earlier. What's the answer?
The answer is yeah.
Sweet.
David's too crazy. Do you want to expand on that at all?
The exact number I think we're still working out. But yeah, the whole idea behind the clan setup that we're working on is to just to allow for groups to get together easier and in bigger numbers. So
yeah.
I wouldn't worry about smaller groups there.
There will be more. That's the answer for now. David Too Crazy wants to know what the percentage of the SOCOM 4 team is working on, be it single player versus multiplayer.
The SOCOM 4 team is, the way it's broken up is, it's difficult to answer that question at any given day. A lot of the guys work on both. If I had to come up with values, I would say about a third of the team's working on multiplayer, a third of the team's working on single player, and a third of the team works on general systems across the board. But, depending on what's really going on any given week, that changes.
Yeah, components can move around, and if you need someone, a couple guys to go from one to another, you can do that.
Yeah,
that's your power as a producer.
Well, it's also important to have to make sure that the team has a broad understanding of everything that's going on in the game. So we'll move design guys from single player to multiplayer. We'll move art guys back and forth, just so that they have a better understanding of how anything they're generating might affect something that's being worked on for multiplayer or single player.
It also helps to give a fresh perspective on things, and also, I mean, knowing from past experience, if you work on something day in, day out for a lot, you want something new, fresh for a little bit. So just having that change, I think, probably helps also.
Yeah, and I think that getting people where they want to work is important too, so that people can actually bring a passion to the game that they have.
Yeah.
DJ Hal Lee, whose real name is Shane Bell, of the Urgent Fury guys. We saw them quite a few times at E3.
Mm-hmm.
Big supporters of the game, big fans of the game. We appreciate it. Asks, during your interview with us, being Urgent Fury Tom, at E3, you talked about how much serious feedback from the SOCOM 4 community makes a difference. Can you expand on that process by which you guys gather community intel and how you decide what could improve or hinder the game's development?
So we get intel all over the place. I mean, the forums are one of the largest places we get it. We also do focus groups and bring usability contestants in. I call them contestants. They're really just people. But they come in and actually play the game for us, and we get a lot of information from them that way. It always helps. The challenge is when you get feedback from the community is addressing it in a way that fits into the design that you currently have for the game and actually is the right thing for that design. We get a lot of feedback that says, I want the game to do this or that. And sometimes, even though we understand it and we want to address it, the challenge is fitting that into the plans that we currently have for the game, because they may drastically affect what we're doing. So we have to be very conscious anytime we get that feedback. It's not that we don't hear it. We hear everything that comes in, hopefully. It's just we have to be very conscious of how we address feedback in a way that's that's best for the game.
Can you give us an example of something that that you've heard that you've implemented into the game, and maybe something you've heard that you couldn't because of design reasons?
The first example was some of the stuff that we got at E3. We found that it was a little bit of a challenge for people to understand how to use the reticle to actually laze the target to call in an airstrike. We've gone back and kind of reworked that UI a little bit to make it a little more user-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things that we hear from the community... the first one, I think the easy one to talk about is player speed. It's easy for people to say the player speed should be faster or slower, but we have to really sit down and understand the ramifications on the gameplay because of that. Games in the past, the maps were smaller. These maps are bigger, so we might need to be faster. Cover might have been a little further apart in other games than they are in this game, so actually slower might be better. So we have to really take all that feedback and consider it before we actually implement it. It isn't as simple as just saying make it faster.
But before you ask this one, Chris, actually that leads to another question. It's not on our sheet, but I think it's one that a lot of people ask about. You say that the maps in SOCOM 4 are larger than what they're used to, but how do they compare to the granddaddy of all SOCOM sizes, and that's SOCOM 3's maps, and they're large sizes? Would you say they're about the same?
They're about the same. I mean, we have maps that are a lot of different sizes. They're not all one size. I would say that the average large map is about the same as the SOCOM 3 large maps.
But these probably feel larger since vehicle play is not as prominent.
Yes, yeah.
Mick Hazza wants to know what the most difficult problem to solve during SOCOM 4's development has been thus far.
You know, the most difficult problem really isn't a problem, although it is. I know I'm double speaking here, but the hardest problem that I see on the SOCOM 4 team that we've had to really continue to work with is the fact that the people that are working on SOCOM 4 are so passionate about what they're working on. Everybody has a very strong opinion of what the game should be. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'd rather work with people that are passionate about the game than people who aren't passionate about the game. I don't have to do a lot of motivating to get people to come up with really good ideas. What that does bring to the table, though, is people have a lot of good ideas that may not go well together. So the hardest part is really taking those good ideas and bringing them into a point so that we know which direction to go with which ideas, and then letting the other people know that we didn't choose your idea, but it was a great idea. That's the hardest part. It's just making sure that you manage that passion in a way that doesn't diminish it, but at the same time, you get everything focused and you're making the right game.
Fish NWK wants to know when Zipper's going to add additional game types to Mag. Tom, you're not working on that game.
No.
The answer is that we've already announced that we're working on a three-faction game type, so that all three factions are playing at once. So that's the next game type that we're looking at introducing. If you don't want to count the neutrality that we're adding to Sabotage and Suppression, when it's going to come out, you know, that's obviously something that we're still working on. But you know, that's what we're going towards. And I think it's pretty cool. From what I've seen so far, it's actually pretty fun. Mm-hmm. And that, my friends, is key.
Several forum goers want to know if they will be able to customize the characters in SOCOM 4 single-player mode, be it changing items, clothes, weapons, whatever.
So unfortunately, we don't really have a lot of character customization for SOCOM 4. We made some decisions early on about the fidelity of the types of characters we wanted to have in the game, and customization becomes a very difficult thing as we get into higher fidelity characters. So it's really not about customizing the characters. We do have a weapon progression system that gives players a big sense of being able to control the way that their player can play the game.
So some of the examples that you could expect in single player would be just finding attachments for your gun, or your guns already come with the attachments? How does that work?
Your weapons come in a base mod, basically. As you use a weapon, you'll get better with it and get more mods available for that weapon, where then you get more attachments for it.
Mashed Potatoes, who seems to ask us questions quite often. So thank you, Mashed Potatoes.
It's also quite tasty.
Yes.
Not the
The person, but the food. I'm not going to ask. Wants to know how has the implementation of the cover system influenced how you design the single player and multiplayer maps? Will there be deliberately placed objects in choke points and key areas meant to be used as cover to convey a certain style of gameplay, or are the maps going to be more open, free for all type things?
You know, it's cover's always been an important part of the SOCOM franchise, all the way back from the beginning. We didn't really change the way cover's placed for our cover system. Maps have always been laid out really similar to the way they have been in the past. Cover is just part of it. It's not. We didn't make any special concessions for the way that we're managing cover in this game.
It's time for the Zip Tip.
So for those of you that aren't familiar, the Zip Tip is a weekly look into the mind of our guest, where they give us some kind of lesson.
Life lesson, maybe.
Yeah, something to take away that only they can give us. It could be a tip about a game, could be about existence in general. Tom, what is your Zip Tip this week?
My Zip Tip is something that I have to do every single day, and it helps me make myself better at my job. Listen to the question that's being asked of you, and think about your answer before you actually open your mouth.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say daily affirmation with, what was his name from SNL?
Jack Handy?
No, not Jack Handy. The other guy. Anyway, Tom, thank you for being on the show this week. I guess that brings us to the end of it. Lots of good questions this week. If you did not have your question right on the show, or you want to submit one for next week, you can always email us at zipline@zipperint.com. And as always, you can send in an audio question if you'd like your audio question right on the show. Send us an MP3 up to 10 seconds long, and please include the content of the audio question in the body of the email so that we can read it.
As an alternative, you can also access the official Q&A threads that can be found on both the MAG and SOCOM forums that we put up every week with the profile of the person that's going to be on our podcast. And if you're a social network type of guy or girl, then you can find us in a number of different ways. You can find us on the official Facebook fan pages for Zipper Interactive and the SOCOM franchises at facebook.com/Zipper Interactive and facebook.com/SOCOM. And you can find us on Twitter at Zipper.
Next week, we're going to have our first return guest, Mag Live's lead designer, one Mr. Scott Rudy. He was on episode 3, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's going to return.
He was one of our most popular guests. Lots of people asked him to come back and talk some more. So we're listening to you. We're going to bring him back. He's going to impart a lot more wisdom about what we're working on.
He was on there the first time before we had the announcement of faction neutrality and 3-faction gameplay and Clan Wars and all these
secretive
other things. So.
Yeah, so we'll be able to shed a lot of light on a lot of the details surrounding those things, and also probably be able to give a little bit more background on what we're doing on the clan front. But other than that, that's our show. Once again, thank you, Tom.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Chris. And thank you for wearing that shirt. And that ends our transmission for this week. Until next time, we're clear.